שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוער, שלום לגויים. It's the evening of the sixth day, כף דלס בחודש מחשוון, פרשס חיי שרה, תשפ, 5780. The evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 21 November 2019, webcasting from Israel at its worst. Yours truly never ceases to wonder at the clash in Israel between Jews being so smart in science and medicine and engineering and so lost when it comes to running a good political system. Last night, Gantz failed, just like Netanyahu, to corral enough partners representing a majority of the seats in the Knesset to form a government, with the stumbling block being the same one man who hates the Jewish religion and wants an Israel, Israel whose name means strives with God, wants an Israel having nothing to do with God, with the religion of the Jews. For sure, he was born and raised in the godless Soviet Union, where belief in God was to communists what either worship is to Jews. Yvette, his Russian name, like all of us, is a product of his culture. I suspect that in his world, he was a proud and even belligerent Jew, proud of the obvious success Jews produced in the Soviet Union. But this ethnic identity had nothing to do with what Jews believe in and their traditional way of life. And because in the 1990s, the Jewish Agency was staffed, like much of Israeli bureaucracy, with Mapai-type social democrats, liberals, who, like reformed Jews in America, were happy to work in the collapsing Soviet Union and welcome to Israel Gentiles who wanted to come here. That de facto policy was meant to make Israel more of a politically correct multicultural society to dilute its Jewish identity. And I feel confident that a significant percentage of Lieberman's voters are, or descended from, the estimated 300,000 Gentiles among the 1 million to come into Israel after the workers' paradise collapsed. But, of course, not one politician here takes note of this. It would be divisive. Lieberman yesterday called Israeli Arabs a fifth column, and not for the first time, and this time he likened as well Haredi Jews to them as anti-Zionists. I cannot decide if this guy is an ignoramus or just stupid. For sure, the Haredim are anti-Zionist, but not because they have rejected a state before the coming of the Messiah, as claimed, but because the Zionists, in their eyes, are vulgar people. We are, in the always wonderful part of the year right now, reading again the book of Genesis that begins with a string of sex stories lacking all eroticism. And I see in the circumcision of Avraham, and we read the other day, and Ishmael, and in the text, we know hundreds of men circumcise themselves at the same time. The very thought of such a scene takes one's breath away. This, though, is the act of the covenant between Avraham and Hashem. And it's no accident that God chose to do this to the body as a permanent reminder, rather than, say, tattoo a mark on the back of the hand or on the palm. Why do this to that part of the body? Because the beginning of morality is the sex drive under control. And when that control goes, society decays, becomes decadent in its sexual behavior, which is exactly what has happened in the West over the last half century. The Jews are, so far, as a nation, immortal, because they never descend into that decadence, a nation that has survived for thousands of years for its ironclad rules of sexual engagement, the permitted versus the taboo. And it is this danger that Haredim recoil from. They are anti-Zionists, but not because they want Jews not to have a state, but for the society, the culture of religionless Jews. What is so stupid and ignorant in the thuggish Lieberman in his comparison between Haredim and Arabs is the unspoken implication that the Haredim want, like Arabs, Israel to be destroyed, masses of Jews murdered, including Haredim, mass rapes, mutilations, looting. Their anti-Zionism must not be confused with linking arms with the Arabs and wanting to destroy this state. So in today's state of Israel, one man, Yvette Lieberman, has been able to throw a monkey wrench into the wheels of government, and along with him, Avichai Mandelblit, who late today was reported to be on the verge of indicting the prime minister. in the middle of this governmental crisis, what kind of a governing system does Israel have that would allow two idiots like these to have such power over society? How does this happen? And I remain in despair of ever reading about some political thinker here proposing a new way of doing things. And I see one root of the problem being the colossal world historical mistake of the founding fathers of the state when they gave citizenship to the Arabs. They did it, of course, with the best of intentions and aspirations to create a modern, enlightened democracy, which means equality, regardless of race, religion, national origin. On Tuesday night, Israel's painfully mediocre President Rivlin spoke out against the prime minister and others who have spoken against the Arab Knesset members. He met with Netanyahu that evening and at the conclusion said, Israel is a Jewish and democratic state and we must ensure equality of rights and respectful and meaningful discourse with all Israelis, close quote. Earlier in the week, at a rally broadcast on TV, the PM did not hesitate to speak a truth when he said that there are members of Knesset in the joint list, the Arab Party, who want to destroy the state of Israel, and that a government in which they are a part, which was a possibility then, would be an existential threat to the state of Israel, close quote. Da'ika, in Aramaic, the root of the problem here is President Rivlin's common misuse of the word democracy when he has in mind multiculturalism, which is the opposite of Jewish life, that via its kosher laws and ironclad observance of the Sabbath sets this people apart. Democracy literally means people power, the power of the demos, meaning the community, and one wants to know, what is the demos in Israel? There are Muslims and Christians here as well, besides Jews, but the flag of this state is Jewish only. Nothing multiculti about that flag, nor the national anthem that speaks of a Jewish soul yearning for this country. There's a contradiction. There is an unbridgeable abyss between Jewishness and a multicultural community that in liberal democratic fashion makes no distinction between citizens according to race and religion. Sorry, President Rivlin, but like so many Israelis, you want to have your cake and eat it too. There's a contradiction in calling Israel a Jewish and a democratic state. President Rivlin criticized these kinds of statements. He said that deepen the already existing divisions within the state. This is wishful thinking, in which the thinker confuses his wish with reality and a serious effort made to achieve some impossible goal. That is why I say it was Israel's historic mistake in 1948 in giving the Arab citizenship. And little good can result from denying the reality that has been created. In a previous election, Bibi on election day publicly called for Jews to vote because the Arabs were voting in unprecedented numbers, and afterwards he was smeared with racism. Please. This is nonsense. Sober statecraft required him to do that. No good can come from denying the reality that a significant percentage of Arabs with citizenship support the liberation in their eyes of Judea and Samaria, and defend their brethren there by not publicly condemning the murder of fellow Israeli citizens. Arab politicians have never, to my knowledge, gone passionately public after a terrorist attack in rebuking the homicidal violence of their Arab brethren as a crime against their fellow Israeli citizens. So now the regulations give the Knesset 3 weeks to come up with a leader who claims to have the power to control 61 seats, and if that does not work, it's back to elections. And in the meantime, as I understand it, paralysis is making life intolerable in the Israeli hospitals, intolerable for the sick. And it was so despicable, and not for the first time, that Yvette Lieberman badmouthed the Haredim, and in truth exposed his own demented comparison between them and these savage Arabs. This is a man obsessed with people who enjoy living religious lives. Maybe that's it. How he unconsciously envies religious Jews, and like Gentile anti-Semites, jealously hates the object of his envy.
נחמו עמי, נחמו עמי, יאמר אלוקיכם. 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 דברו הלב ירושלים, דברו הלב ירושלים. נחמו עמי, דברו הלב ירושלים. אמר השם, אמר השם, את מי צריך לנחם? האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, את מי צריך לנחם? נחמוני, נחמוני עמי. נחמו עמי, נחמו עמי, יאמר אלוקיכם. 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 דברו הלב ירושלים, דברו הלב ירושלים. נחמו עמי, דברו הלב ירושלים. אמר השם, אמר השם, את מי צריך לנחם? האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, את מי צריך לנחם? נחמוני, נחמוני עמי. מי שנשרף ביתו, מי שנשבו בניו, מי שנטרף צונו, האם לא אותי צריכים לנחם? נחמו, נחמוני עמי. נחמו, נחמוני עמי. ומחיתי, מחיתי דמעה מעל כל פנים, ושבו בני לגבולה.
So, in addition to the Verstunken political system here, tension is rising between Israel and Iran. Some Shiites in Syria on Tuesday morning before dawn fired 4 rockets at Israel, and the Iron Dome system destroyed them. And in response, Israel's Air Force blasted the enemy in Damascus, hitting a major building, facility, and killing like 24 Arabs and Iranians. Israel has publicly made clear it would not respond tit for tat. That is, even a low-level attack, like Tuesday morning, will be met with serious violence. With Iranians probably much encouraged by their successful cruise missile and drone attack on Saudi Arabia in September that destroyed half of their oil industry, to which attack, to my knowledge, the Saudis have never responded, because they can't. They have no serious military with any experience. Iran is feeling its oats and is likely to be reflected in a rising level of aggression against us, particularly as things worsen in Iran due to the sanctions. A classic pattern is for them to hate Jews even more, hate Israel even more, and blame them for the situation. During the almost a month of holidays this fall, Israel deliberately refrained from major operations in order for the people of Israel to enjoy the season and the holidays. A major flare-up would have been most unwelcome at that time, but now we are post the days of war. And it's back to business, the business of trying to deny a permanent Iranian presence in Syria, and doing so by constant destruction And it's disconcerting to hear of Secretary of State Pompeo now wanting to quit and run for the Senate, which I think sounds a bit peculiar. Does he feel he will have more power to do good as a senator instead of Secretary of State? Trump has vowed not to let Iran have atomic bombs. Does Pompeo want out of that policy? Anyway, Iran is our greatest enemy now and has been for decades. And it's good to see riots in Iran over the wretched economy there, thanks to President Trump. But the resistance by the Ayatollahs and the Revolutionary Guards, so-called, is and will be unbridled by any sense of restraint, mercy, and humanity. In 2009, you may remember, when there were opposition demonstrations in the streets following the trashing of elections by the mullahs who did not like the results, the armed Iranian agencies, the police, the army, the Revolutionary Guards, wanted to break up the demonstrations, but could not be bothered with using riot control equipment and techniques. The best way to end a demonstration and disperse the crowd is to shoot dead those in the front line and watch the crowd disperse real fast. The Iranians, like Arabs, are capable of truly satanic cruelty and will be merciless in putting down any rebellion. What I would like to see in 2020, is a Democratic House of Representatives and Senate, and President Trump again, all of them ratifying a declaration of war against Iran, which does not automatically launch military operations. What a declaration does is clarify a relationship between the two countries, and along with the declaration, you list demands that Iran must fulfill for the declaration to be annulled. For example, Iran might be given 24 hours to start dismantling all of its nuclear bomb projects, and if Iran does not, then the U.S. will destroy them from the air and not stop, but continue until the government of the Ayatollahs is brought down as the governments in Berlin and Tokyo were brought down in May and September 1945, respectively. With, of course, Israel partnering with the U.S. in military operations. Iran attacked the United States on November 4, 1979, over around the embassy compound. And since then, after a biblical generation of American paralysis, the time has come to respond in kind and return war for war and cripple today's Islamic Republic, aspiring to a neo-Persian empire. Iran poses a mortal threat not only to Israel but to the U.S. for two reasons. It's, number one, its support that is unique in the world for the state of Israel, when the very existence of Israel, apart from its behavior, is the greatest threat to Islam. And apart from that, the U.S., number two, is the leading non-Muslim culture in the world in many ways, setting the world's cultural agenda. When that fact alone is a challenge and an insult to Islam and its believers who believe their way of life is the correct way, and they have the right to impose Islam on the entire planet, and begin doing that by destroying the United States with an EMP blast, perhaps, God forbid. And in their obsessive hatred of Israel, the Iranians are joined by, without a doubt, the world community, evidenced by the latest Jew bashing on display in the United Nations Security Council, its highest body. I think the council once a month discusses Israel and its victims under an agenda item on the situation in the Middle East or something like that. Every month, the 14 of 15 Security Council members now, representing the world community, lacking the United States, have an opportunity to badmouth the Jews, sort of like a medieval disputation, without the Jews being able to defend themselves. The UN Human Rights Council, likewise, once a month, in the UN's Geneva headquarters, has an opportunity to sneer at and accuse the Jews of crimes against the human rights of the ancient Palestinians. For example, yesterday in New York, the Security Council, that is 14 of the 15 members, voted on language virtually identical to all the Democratic candidates and anti-Jew Jews in J Street concerning the new policy in the State Department. George Soros' front organization, Human Rights Watch, called the occupation a war crime, which is why it rejected Pompeo's statement. And, of course, the head honcho of that operation, that George Soros operation is another anti-Jew Jew, Kenneth Roth. The UN Security Council said the new policy in Washington endangers the holy, and I do mean holy, two-state solution. Hostility to Israel in the world community is so like thousands of years of Jew hatred, which hatred for thousands of years was religion-based. And so, in a religious sense, today's anti-Jews look upon the two-state solution as virtually a messianic project, the installation of peace and justice in the Holy Land by expelling hundreds of thousands of Jews, destroying their lives and turning over all their communities that they built, turning their synagogues into mosques, taking possession of the fine modern roads the Jews built with their money. The world community wants to do to Israel what was done to the shtetl, the little village of Anatevka at the end of Fiddler on the Roof. Destroy it. The Goyim and the mixed multitude of anti-Jew Jews alike want to expel the Jewish people from Judea and Samaria, as Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. And they wish for this shamelessly, guiltlessly, and even camouflage their evil scheme as a solution to the violence. How nice. The two-state solution. What could be so simple? The violence between Israel and its ancient Palestinian victims is the result of the Jews' illegal war crime of keeping the spoils of war in 1967 instead of handing the spoils over to a nationality never appearing in the documents in the UN before 1970. Yesterday, the UN Security Council, and not unanimously, minus the U.S., judged, quote, all settlement activity illegal under international law, and as always, what law or laws the Council had in mind were not cited. The UN Special Coordinator for the Middle East process, Nikolai Mladenov, seems to have jetted in especially from Israel to this session at the UN, UN expense, of course. He opened the meeting and expressed regret at the policy announcement and reiterated the Council position of Resolution 2334 of December 2016 that describes settlements as, quote, a flagrant violation under international law. Not just a violation, but a flagrant one, implying the Jews not only violated, but insulted the Council and its Olympian judgment that Jews are not allowed to live in Judea and Samaria. Jews are also not allowed to keep the spoils of war like other nations. Unique in history, when attacked, Israel in self-defense may take land away from the attacker, but afterwards Israel must give back what it took and give the aggressor another shot at destroying Israel's homes, livelihoods, and the state of free Jews the Jews have built, because the existence of this state drives these anti-Jews crazy.
מה היית עושה אם פתאום היית מוצא איזה אוצר אלף אלפים דינרים של זהב מה היית רואה שלא ראית עד עכשיו ובכלל מה היית עושה בסתיו דחי לו יצויר שהיית עכשיו על המשמר בלי כידון ובלי כסדה בלי ספק ובלי חידה כמו דוד המלך רק עם רוח חזקה כמו גיבור אמיתי גם בסתר תמסור לו דש ותתפלל שלא נפחד יותר תגיד תודה וגם תשאל מתי זה ייגמר תמסור לו דש ותתפלל שלא נמות יותר תגיד סליחה וגם תשאל מתי זה ייגמר כמה סתם תגיד אחי מה היית חושב
אם היית מוצא את האור שבלב שלך אלף ניצוצות ואורות בצבעים אלף זיכרונות שירים וסיפורים ועוד אלף מנגינות שנכתבו בסתם תמסור לו דש ותתפלל שלא נפחד יותר תגיד סליחה וגם תשאל מתי זה ייגמר תמסור לו דש ותתפלל שלא נמות יותר תגיד סליחה ותתחנן שכל זה ייגמר שלא נפחד יותר תגיד סליחה וגם תשאל מתי זה ייגמר תמסור לו דש ותתפלל שלא נמות יותר תגיד תודה וגם תשאל מתי זה ייגמר
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. One day, before my time is up, I hope to see the State of Israel formally and publicly withdraw from the United Nations organization, an organization I know to a degree from the inside that is riddled with what today is called anti-Semitism. The late, great Jean Kirkpatrick, U.S. ambassadress to the U.N. under President Reagan, wrote that she was astonished when taking up her post to discover the anti-Semitism that was rife throughout the organization. Indeed, the spiritual virus of Jew hatred is active in so many of the U.N.'s departments and agencies. I want to see Israel mature and understand finally that the U.N.'s animosity to Israel is nothing, and I mean nothing, but the same age-old hatred of Jews, albeit dressed in dignified diplomatic language. It's the same old wine in new bottles. Take events last Friday at the UN, where the General Assembly's fourth committee, which bizarrely is a committee whose members represent the entire roster of 193 states. This committee is also known as the Special Political and Decolonization Committee, and they produced eight separate resolutions singling out and condemning Israel. Think of the man hours involved in drafting the language of each of the eight resolutions. Think of the time to convene and vote on them, the time it took to produce drafts, to be proofread and passed around for approval, and then emailed to all members, and have them convene and vote on these texts that included condemnation of Israel's, quote, repressive measures against Syrian citizens in the Golan Heights. They concluded a demand that Israel hand over this Syrian territory held since 1967. And these votes will be repeated next month when the General Assembly plenary formally ratifies their resolutions. Think of the staff work, people whose livelihoods is drafting and producing these accusations and of Jewish evil doing. It's work that never ends. Between 1945 and 1989, there were a combined 870 resolutions between the Security Council and General Assembly that I studied, besides the score of other resolutions in UNESCO and other agencies. In the 30 years intervening between my research and today, the number of resolutions there has probably doubled. And if so, since I discovered in those first 45 years 55,000-plus individual member states voting against Israel, and there have been since then, I guess, a potential 100,000 anti-Israel votes by this time in the UN. This is why Israel, for its own self-respect, must leave the UN, and for its own self-respect, must cease supplying the Gaza Strip with everything the enemies need to sustain themselves, to produce and fire off missiles into our homes and make our lives miserable. One imagines that peace will remain distant until the Jews here stop begging for the love of the Gentiles and demand the respect we deserve, and refuse any longer to play along with the fantasy of there being a Palestinian people who have the title deed to our promised land.
Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imloch, Leolam Va'ed, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imloch, Leolam Va'ed. Ve'haya Hashem Lemelech על כל הארץ ביום ההוא יהיה השם אחד ושמו אחד הוי נא 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 השם מלך השם מלך השם ימלוך Leolam va'ed Hashem melech Hashem malach Hashem imloch Leolam va'ed Ve'haya Hashem lemelech Al kol ha'aretz Ayom ahu yeh Hashem echad Ushmo echad Hoy ve'haya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz bayom ahu yeh Hashem echad ushmo echad oy na 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 na
Okay, last word. Mandelblit is now supposed to, this evening, throw the book at Bibi in all four cases against him, despite the attempts of Alan Dershowitz and Nathan Lewin, Avi Bell, Mark Levin, to have these charges thrown out. right in the middle of this governmental crisis. This Mandelblit is such a jerk. Okay, that's it for this evening and for the week. I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tova, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.